This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Today we begin a series of messages titled, Remembering the Reformation. We live in a time when most people in Bible-believing churches know very little about the Protestant Reformation, and as a result, very few people understand how much of the truth that the Protestant Reformers recovered from the darkness of Romanism has now slipped out of the evangelical church's grasp. The fact is that today most evangelicals are members of what we must truthfully call the un-Protestant church. What has happened? Why is this a crisis for the church? What must be done to recover what has been lost? Stay tuned for the answers as we begin to examine those critical questions. Heavenly Father, we do indeed live in a time when much of the evangelical church is turning back to the spiritual darkness that blanketed the organized church before the Reformation. Father, I pray that as we take an honest look at these issues, that your Spirit will do a reviving work among your people and bring your church back to the strength that is found in the truth of your holy word, which is living and powerful and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We live in a time when the evangelical church is getting an extreme makeover. The major movements among evangelicals today say that we need to redefine the church. They say that we need to stop focusing on building up the people of God who are already in the pews, the saints that we have. They say that we need to go to unbelievers and ask them what the church should look like. We need to ask them what the church should preach. We need to find out what will please and impress those outside. And then we need to give it to them. The modern makeover movements among evangelicals today go by various names. There's the purpose-driven church, the emergent church, there's what's called the new paradigm church. These are all makeover movements, and they all have one thing in common. They say, forget what the Bible says. Do the things that will bring the greatest numbers, regardless of what we have to do, because the ends justify the means. And in the last few years, 400,000 nominally evangelical pastors, and I'll use the word nominally evangelical, over 400,000 pastors and church leaders have gone to seminars and workshops to tell them how to give their churches this kind of an unbiblical makeover. And in the process, the church's message has gotten an extreme makeover. You'll hear it often said, oh, we're not changing the message, we're only changing the method. That is a falsehood. Much of the evangelical church today, as it has changed its methods, no longer preaches that the Bible is totally accurate in everything that it says. Much of the evangelical church today does not preach the one true gospel in all of its fullness, the gospel that saves souls. Much of the evangelical church today does not train and instruct people in discernment to test the spirits, to test everything against the authority of Scripture alone. Praise God, I know that it's different here at Reformation Bible Church. Praise God. But we need to constantly be asking ourselves, are we maintaining that? And we need to ask ourselves, what happens when you do these things that many are doing today? What happens is that the evangelical church becomes what we might call the church unplugged. The church unplugged. The church that has disconnected itself from its true source of power and authority, the Word of God. It becomes ineffectual in its genuine mission of preaching the gospel to the world and building up the saints in sound doctrine. And the church unplugged from the Word of God becomes ill-equipped to do battle. It finds itself retreating in the battle against the enemies of the truth. The church unplugs itself from the wisdom of God that we find only in His Word, and instead plugs itself into the Word of man and the wisdom of fallen man. The church that reinvents itself to meet the specifications of the world may attract hundreds or even thousands of members, but that doesn't truly lead them to Christ, does it? If there's no gospel message to offer, if the gospel message has been diminished, has been put on the shelf in favor of many other things, and all we are doing is seeking to please those who want to come for other reasons, we aren't winning the lost. We aren't feeding the saints. We aren't building the people of God up in sound doctrine. The church that adopts this new paradigm, and we see it in many, many places today, places itself in a deadly downward spiral. Here's what happens, and you can see it in many evangelical churches across America today. As the church caters more and more to the way unbelievers want the church to look and to feel, the kind of experience that they want to have, the kind of experience that they see probably on television, as the church caters more and more to those things, what happens? The percentage of unsaved people in the congregation continually goes up and up and up. They've never been confronted with the claims of Christ. They've never been confronted with the force of the gospel. And at the same time, what else is happening? The percentage of genuine Christians in the congregation continues to move toward zero. And within a surprisingly short time, sometimes just a few years, the thinking and the practices of an unsaved supermajority can dominate a once sound church. Now notice that so far this morning I've talked about the evangelical church. That's the term that I've used. I haven't used the word Protestant. And I've done that deliberately because we stand at a point in history, 500 years after the Reformation, when much of the evangelical church, much even of the Reformed church, has forgotten what it means to be Protestant. The church today, the vast majority of nominally evangelical churches, the vast majority of the nominally Reformed church today is going back to a pre-Reformation position. And as we commemorate the great historic fact of the Protestant Reformation and all that it means, let me submit to you that it is important for us, first of all, to go back and understand the state of the church before the Reformation. Because that is the state to which the nominally evangelical church today is rapidly returning in many cases, with few and precious exceptions. What characterized the pre-Reformation position? What was the church like before that time? Let's say, just to pick a figure, 600 years ago, a century before the Protestant Reformation. Well, let me name briefly just a handful of things which characterized the church in that time. First of all, the pre-Reformation position was built on biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy. Before the Protestant Reformation, the Bible was untranslated except into the Latin of the church. The Bible was literally chained to the pulpit. People couldn't read the actual Word of God in their own language. What do we have today? How does what we have today, 600 years later, compare? What we have is that the modern movements among evangelicals today are also being built on biblical illiteracy. And it's happening in two ways. The first way is through the deception of the Bible paraphrase. The deception of the Bible paraphrase. The modern church makeover movements encourage biblical illiteracy, illiteracy of the true Word of God, by using and promoting so-called Bible versions that are not faithful translations of the Word of God, but man-centered paraphrases. One that has become quite popular through the modern church makeover movements is called the message, the Bible in contemporary language. What is this? Tens of millions of copies of it have now been sold. Well, it's actually not a Bible at all. It's a paraphrase. And the author of this Bible paraphrase, you may know the name, a man named Eugene Peterson. For 30 years, he was a pastor of the Liberal Presbyterian USA Church in Bel Air, nearby here. He founded and pastored that church, and he wrote a Bible, as he puts it when he's interviewed, the way I thought it should sound. And that is what tens of millions of people are reading today. That's the first way that the modern church makeover movements are encouraging biblical illiteracy, a return to the pre-Reformation position. They give something that may say Bible on the cover, but it's actually not the authentic Bible inside. The second way that these makeover movements encourage biblical illiteracy is through their attitude towards Scripture. Scripture does not have first place in many evangelical churches today. The pulpit does not have first place in many evangelical churches today. I receive a magazine. Don't know if any of you are familiar with it. I rather hope that you're not. It's called Church Production. Church Production, and it is put out by the multi-billion dollar industry that has grown up to provide the means and methods and equipment and materials for a church service to become an entertainment production. And one of the things that they make much of, they will feature various churches in articles in this magazine that have taken on this kind of makeover. And they make a great point very often of the fact, and they're proud of it, that the pulpit is no longer the central focus physically in the church. That things that are up on screens in the back, which can be manipulated at will, are the focus and not the pulpit and certainly not the Word. And Eugene Peterson, the man who wrote the message, he wrote this, he said, Christians should be studying the Bible less, not more. You just need enough to pay attention to God. Well, one wonders, how can you pay attention unless you read His authentic Word? How can you pay attention to God unless you read and understand His authentic Word? Well, the modern evangelical makeover movements say that you pay attention to God, as they put it, by going to a church service that's not really a church service, not a worship service. It's a staged entertainment event. And this brings us to a second way in which the church is returning to the pre-Reformation position. The second way is the pre-Reformation position 600 years ago emphasized going to church as an experience, as a visual experience. In the 15th century, it had to do with the pomp and the ceremony and the robes and the ornate altars and statues and the incense and the procession. In the 15th century, you didn't really hear the Word of God preached. You didn't really worship God. You came to have an experience. Well, today, Much of the church is going back to the pre-Reformation position of emphasizing experience. Today, many evangelical church services have become a carefully produced show, a church production. The emphasis is on performed music in the style of a program like American Idol or, God forbid, MTV. Rather than congregational singing, rather than the kind of God-honoring singing of a choir that we heard this morning and were blessed by. And I went to one of these a few years ago. There is actually an annual trade show for pastors and church leaders who want to get involved in this kind of thing. One of the interesting things about that was that they had all kinds of programs and seminars about how to do these things in your church. One of the interesting things about this was I went as an observer to report on it. And one of the interesting things to me was I expected this crowd, and there were about 3,000 men there. I expected it to be a young crowd, 20s, 30s, young church leaders. No. I'd say the average age was late 40s. There were even pastors there in their 70s who were going around on their walkers. And they were saying, this is the thing. This is what we need to do to bring people into the church. We need to have this production, and we need to turn the sermon into a little pep talk. That's what's going on. Experience. And thirdly, the pre-Reformation position, even though there was one monolithic church, actually because there was one monolithic church, the pre-Reformation position was, thirdly, pluralistic. Pluralistic. The Roman Catholic Church was and is and always will be a great chameleon. Over the centuries, even today, Rome is quite willing to adjust its methods and messages and even bring in pagan practices into the church in order to get people under the net and the authority and the bondage of that religion. Today, Roman Catholic churches in Indonesia and other parts of the Muslim-dominated world are freely using the name Allah in the Mass. They're very happy to do that instead of referring to God or Jesus Christ, because their goal is to gain numbers to sweep people in. Regardless, the ends justify the means. But today the evangelical church is moving back to this pre-Reformation position of inclusivism. Reliable surveys today among people who call themselves Bible-believing Christians, people who answered yes to the question, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone, apart from works, for eternal life? People who answered yes to that basic question, nearly 60% of them, when asked a further question, said that they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. They may have heard the gospel, but they've also heard pluralism. Dr. Timothy Keller, who has become famous and notable pastor in New York in the Presbyterian Church in America, in a television interview a year or so ago, he said that he believes there may be some backdoor way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. And I intend to say more about those matters at another point in our time together this week, but let me move on to a fourth point about the pre-Reformation position. The pre-Reformation position emphasized deeds instead of doctrine. The 15th century position was that good works and penance will get you to heaven. Don't worry about doctrine, just do what we tell you to do. And once again, the evangelical church is returning to the pre-Reformation position. Let me quote Rick Warren, a familiar name, the acknowledged worldwide leader of the purpose-driven church movement, he said this, and I'm quoting him now. This was in a television interview on C-SPAN. He said, "You know, 500 years ago, the first Reformation with Luther and then Calvin was about creeds. The new Reformation that we're bringing about through the purpose-driven church will be about deeds. The first one was about what the church believes. This one will be about what the church does. The first Reformation actually split Christianity into dozens and then hundreds of different segments. This new Reformation is actually going to bring them together. Now, you're never going to get Christians of all their stripes and varieties to agree on all of the different doctrinal disputes and things like that, but what I'm seeing them agree on are the purposes of the church. Listen." And he said, "I find great uniformity in the fact that I see this happening all the time. Last week I spoke to 4,000 pastors at my church who came from over 100 denominations in over 50 countries. Now that's widespread. Listen, we had Catholic priests. We had Pentecostal ministers. We had Lutheran bishops. We had Anglican bishops. We had Baptist preachers. They're all there together. And you know what?" Rick Warren says, "I'd never get them to agree on communion or baptism or a bunch of stuff like that. But I could get them to agree on what the church should be doing in the world. Pluralism." What he's actually advocating and doing and leading a return to is the pre-Reformation position. One church under one head, and that head is not the Lord Jesus Christ. The head is man. The evangelical church has largely forgotten what it means to be Protestant. Today's focus is on the church having an extreme makeover. The focus is on man's power to transform things. But this morning, we have before us a passage which talks about God's power to transform. That was the power of the Protestant Reformation. This is power of an entirely different kind. And it was by this transforming power that God took men from among those who had been conformed to the pattern of Roman Catholicism for centuries, the pattern of the world, the pattern of false religion, and he took those men, the reformers, and he renewed their minds by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word. And through these men, Calvin, Luther, Beza, Zwingli, Knox, and the rest, through these men, God kindled the flames of the Reformation that swept across Europe and brought a faithful remnant of God's people to the truth.
Well, dear friends, as we began this message today, we focused on the problem as we find it in the contemporary church. And as we continue this message on our next program, we are going to focus on the solution as we find it in the pages of the Word of God, and I hope you'll join us for that program. The supreme authority of the Bible was the great truth recovered by the reformers at the time of the Protestant Reformation, and the church needs to regain a grasp of that truth today. During this series, we're offering a free book that addresses this great need from the pages of the Word of God. The title of the book is simply Authority, and we'd be happy to send a free copy to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world. You can obtain your copy of the book called Authority by going to our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the contact link on our homepage. Let us know that you would like to receive the book called Authority, and be sure to give us your complete name and mailing address. In North America, you can request the book by calling us 24 hours a day, toll-free, at 888-804-9655. Again, that's 888-804-9655. Or you can request the book called Authority by mail by writing to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.